Good Sunday morning to you. I hope everybody is doing well today and is having a good weekend. I appreciate you taking some time out of your Sunday morning to join me for Sunday Morning with Love and Action. Today we're going to look at a question, and that question is, are you a disciple of Jesus? And we're going to get into that right after we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, you are so awesome. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. Lord, you sent your Son for us. No, we don't deserve that. None of us do. But that's how much you love us, that you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross to pay the price that none of us could pay. Lord, we cannot say thank you enough, Lord. So, Lord, may we give you our lives and live our lives in worship and adoration to you, O God, giving thanks continually for just who you are and how awesome you are. God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word on the radio. Father, as we open up your word this morning, I ask that you reveal your truths to us. Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, guide us, and may we be doers of your word and not hearers only. God, I lift up everyone who's listening. Father, you know each need that's represented out there, and we give them to you, Father. Lord, I pray for salvation. I pray for healing. I pray for needs to be met. I pray for your comfort and your peace. Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for giving us everything that we need. It can all be found in your word, Father, and we thank you and we give you praise for that. Oh God, just bless this time. We pray that you'll be glorified. And if anyone's listening, Father, who have not given their lives to you, I pray today will be the day that they surrender to you and experience the most awesome love that there is, and that's your love. So thank you, Father. We praise you, and it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. A survey was conducted in 2019 to see how many Christians or people who profess to be Christians were in the United States of America, and it was 65% of all Americans called themselves Christians. While 65% is a great number, that's down from 75% in 2015. And if we go back to 1990, it was 85%. So we can see that the numbers of professing Christians have dropped in the United States. And we have to ask ourselves, why the decrease? Now, there's some areas of the country where we've actually seen increase, but overall, there's a decrease. And why? And there are many reasons why. And we don't have time to look at each one of those, and we're not going to try to look at each one of them. But I do know one of the major reasons is that 90 to 95% of all professing Christians have never shared their faith with anyone. Never. They never have told anybody about Jesus. They've never shared their testimony with anyone on how Jesus has saved them, how Jesus has set them free and given them eternal life. What if the disciples of Jesus, back when he was walking on the earth in the early church that we read about in Acts, what if they were like that? What if 90 to 95% of them did not share the gospel? Well, Christianity would have been over with a long time ago, and it wouldn't be here today. When we think about those early Christians, the disciples and the church in the book of Acts, we see that they were under severe persecution, but they shared their faith anyway. Now here in the U.S., we don't have severe persecution. We hardly have any persecution. Also, there's no excuse not to share our faith with others. We have to. Jesus commands us to do that, and we're going to look at that this morning. But we have to ask ourselves, what happened? Why are so many professing Christians not sharing their faith with others? It's hard for me to believe that everyone who professes to be a Christian are truly followers of Jesus. Now, it's not for me to judge, and I'm not trying to judge. I'm just sharing from my heart this morning because it's something that it just greatly concerns me, because Jesus did everything for us and does everything for us. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. We have to share him with others. How can we not share Jesus with others after everything he's done for us? I find it impossible, really, to be honest with you, that someone can be a true follower of Jesus without sharing the gospel. When I read the scriptures, I don't see where people were not sharing the gospel. Followers of Christ were constantly sharing their faith. Now, I'm not talking about everybody has to be a preacher and get behind the pulpit and preach the word. I'm not talking about being on the radio, sharing the gospel over the airwaves. But I'm talking about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with family and friends, co-workers, and people we meet in coffee houses and restaurants and wherever we go. And I think a big problem in the American church today, and it has been for a while, is discipleship is not done correctly, if it's even done at all. And the model of evangelism and discipleship in America has long been this: invite people to church and let the preacher tell them about Jesus and disciple them. Now, inviting people to church is something we should do. That's a very good thing. So invite people to church, because when they're at church, they get to experience corporate worship. They do get to experience a good word from God, from the Bible. They get to experience Christian fellowship. So those things are all important, but that's not true evangelism, and it's definitely not true discipleship. We have to share the gospel with others, and we have to make disciples. Let's look at what Jesus tells us in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You see, Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, which that word nations in the Greek is ethne, which means people groups. And it's difficult to estimate exactly how many people groups are in the world, but our best guess is calculated by the Joshua Project, which is a wonderful website to visit and see all these different people groups, which ones have not been reached with the gospel. They estimate that there are 16,543 people groups in the world. Out of these, there are 6,701 people groups who are unreached. So that's 42%, to be exact, 42.1% of the world's people groups have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. That's 3.23 billion people. That's billion with a B. 3.23 billion people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to share the gospel. Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all people groups. So we have to make them here at home, make disciples here at home, and either go overseas or support those who can go overseas to reach people who have never heard the gospel. So true discipleship is every one of us, as followers of Jesus, going out and telling people about Jesus. And the goal of evangelizing the world for Jesus is to make disciples. And we need to make disciples who can make disciples. That's why at Love in Action, we teach a discipleship course called Training for Trainers, because we want those who we are teaching to follow Jesus to be able to teach others. And that's how the Word instructs us to do. So we have to share the gospel and make disciples. This is not just for pastors and not just for evangelists. This is for all believers. That needs to be taught in churches today. It's for each and every one of us, not just for pastors, not just for evangelists. And there are some really good disciple-making churches out there, but there's just not nearly enough, unfortunately. But we all need to seriously ask ourselves this question: am I a true believer in Jesus, or did I just pray a prayer and checked off a box that said I'm saved? We seriously have to ask ourselves that. I've known people who have been in church, on the church roll, members of churches for years, who came to the realization that's all they were, is church members. And see, being a church member will not get us to heaven. It's being a true believer in Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives us eternal life, not church membership. So people who have been in churches for years have been coming to the Lord, saying, "You know what, all this time I hadn't been saved, but I need to be saved." And they give their lives to the Lord and they truly start living for Him. That's a revelation we all need. And we all need to make sure, because eternity isn't something to play with. We can't say, "Oh, I'll get to it the next day." You know, I was talking to a woman recently and sharing the gospel with her. And she knew she had not made that decision to give her life to Jesus. And she said, "Well, I will, but just not right now." And I told her, "We're not promised tomorrow, so don't put it off. Call out to Him. You don't have to wait on me to pray with you. Call out to Jesus." because we're not promised tomorrow. And it's not something to put off. It's not something to play with. We need to seriously ask ourselves, am I saved? And if you're not, then don't be ashamed to admit it, because if you're not and you come to the Lord, then that's going to be celebrated. Believers celebrate when people truly put their faith in Jesus Christ. And we can't just say a prayer and just say, okay, I'm saved and I'm good from here on out, because nowhere in Scripture will you find the sinner's prayer. We've talked about the sinner's prayer. I mean, I've heard that my whole life. You just don't find that in the Bible. What I see in the Bible is people believed in Jesus and they followed him. The Apostle Paul, now he writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that we are to confess Jesus as Lord. So I do believe there is a verbal part of salvation. That's when we confess Jesus as our Lord. And that's why I do lead people in prayer, so they can make that confession of faith. It is important to make that confession of faith. But we have to understand that is only the beginning. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. So once we do that, once we come to that knowledge, that understanding, that belief that Jesus died for us and God raised him from the dead, and we confess Jesus as Lord, that's the first step. And from that point, we have to start living for him. So after we confess and believe, we need to be baptized. Now, understanding that baptism is not salvific, which means baptism doesn't save us. It's our belief in Jesus, our trusting in him as Savior and Lord. Remember the thief on the cross when he asked Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. So the criminal did not have an opportunity to come off that cross and be baptized. But yet Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But baptism is so important because Jesus commands us to be baptized. We just read in the Great Commission that he commands us to go and to baptize people. And so that's a very important part of becoming a disciple in Christ, because that's a step, and often a first step, in being obedient to the Word of God, to what Jesus is commanding us to do, how he's commanding us to live. And so we need to be baptized. And if you are a follower of Jesus, then you can lead somebody to Jesus and you can baptize them. We are commanded by Jesus to do so. And then we are to teach the new believer to obey all that he has commanded us. That's disciple making. That's what he's telling us to do in the Great Commission. We have to make disciples who can make disciples. The word disciple literally means a learner, and it denotes one who follows another's teaching. So we are to imitate Jesus. If we are following someone, then that means we want to be like that person. So as a follower of Jesus, we want to be like Jesus. And therefore, we need to imitate him. We need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And reading the Gospels, we see how Jesus made disciples. He did so by teaching and showing through example how to serve, how to pray, how to walk in the power of Almighty God. And it's not just in a classroom setting. Too often when discipleship comes up, it's just a classroom setting where you're learning with a pencil and paper. And that's part of it. That is part of it. We see Jesus teaching his disciples, don't we? We see him teaching them, but we also see him taking them out and going out to the people and ministering to them. Therefore, he is showing them by example, teaching them by example, how they are to go out and how they are to live this life. As disciple makers who make disciples, we need to teach people through the Word of God. Definitely like in a classroom setting. It don't have to be in a classroom, though. It can be at a coffee shop. It can be at the library, in your home, wherever you can meet with somebody. And if it's in a classroom setting, like at a church, that's fine, too. But just know it doesn't have to be confined to a classroom setting. But we do need to teach people through the Word of God. We've got to teach people the commands of Jesus Christ. We need to teach people how to share the gospel, how to share a personal testimony, how to pray, and how to pray for others, how to serve others, because that's exactly what Jesus did. We just need to model him, follow him, imitate him. Let's turn in the scripture to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Luke 10, verses 1 through 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." So here we see Jesus is sending, some translations say 70, some say 72. But whether it's 70 or 72, Jesus is sending them out. He's already sent out the 12. Now he's sending out these 72 followers on a mission of healing and gospel proclamation. He's already taught them, and he's led by example, showing them how to do this. And so now it's time for them to go out and do it. And so he is sending them out. And what we have to also remember as being a follower of Christ, we have to count the cost of following Jesus, because following Jesus is not an easy thing. It's the greatest life ever, but Jesus never promises it's going to be easy. Matter of fact, he says the opposite. It's going to be tough. And here he uses the word lambs. And what's important about that is that it implies that the disciples should not attempt to gain converts by force. The spread of the gospel is to come through preaching the good news of Jesus Christ and inviting hearers to respond willingly. Now, the principle that genuine religious commitment cannot be compelled by force sets Christianity in clear contrast with significant segments of Islam, Hinduism, and many tribal religions. Jesus is not telling us to go out and forcibly convert people. He doesn't do that, and he doesn't tell us that. He tells us to go out and share the gospel. He tells us to do it humbly, and we're to go out in his love and tell others about him. And then it's people's choice. We all have a choice. It's a free will. Are we going to believe or are we not going to believe? And so we go out as lambs. Another thing Jesus is teaching here is that we cannot expect to be treated like royalty, like everybody's going to accept us. He uses the word wolves, sending us out like lambs among wolves. So Jesus is telling us that we're going to go into some hostile environments. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be times when we go to areas and people are very willing to listen. Many places in the U.S. are like that. But there's other places that aren't in the U.S. And then there's places overseas that's really hostile to Christians and to the teaching of Jesus Christ. But we have to truly count the cost of following Jesus. So that's another question we have to ask ourselves. Have I truly counted that cost? And we have to share our faith and make disciples no matter if we're in hostile environments or not. So, are you a true disciple of Jesus? You know in your heart if you are or not. Most of all, God knows. We can't fool him. We can fool others, but we can't fool God. So we need to do a self-evaluation here. We need to ask ourselves three things. And now I got these three things from an evangelist named Mark A. Copeland in Kissimmee, Florida. These three questions are very powerful and will really tell us if we are followers of Jesus or not. The first one is, let's ask ourselves, do I abide in the words of Jesus? The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So ask yourself, am I a diligent student of the teachings of Jesus Christ? Am I a doer of his word? Like we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. Let's read that. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus is saying, if you hear my words and do them, then you will have eternal life. We will go on to be with him forever and ever. But if we hear his word and we don't do them, then we're not going to. James writes in James 1, chapter 21 through 25, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doings. So James is saying, be a doer of your word. And I almost always pray that before I read the word, before we study the word here on Sunday mornings, Love and Action, is that God help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers. He doesn't want us to just hear his word, and we do need to do that. We need to hear God's word. We need to read God's word for ourselves, but we have to put it into action in our lives. It's like a football team. A coach or coaches, they come up with a game plan, and if we execute this game plan, we're going to win this game. But if we come up with this game plan, we study it, we go over, we even practice it, but then come game day, we don't do it, what's going to happen? We're going to fail miserably and lose that game. With the Word of God, it's a much bigger game. It's a game of life. It's much more important than football. We have to take His Word and put it into action in our lives and be doers of His Word. There's just too much at stake. Our eternity's at stake. Other people's eternities are at stake. God tells us to go and tell people about Him, about His Son, about the salvation that Jesus is giving us. I mean, it's free. We need to tell others about it so they can have the opportunity to make a decision whether to receive him or not. And then we need to make disciples. Another question to ask ourselves is, do we love the brethren? And here's what I mean by that. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. This is Jesus talking. A new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We have to love each other. People are looking at us as professing Christians and seeing how we act amongst them, but also amongst each other. We can't fight amongst each other. We got to love one another. Are we going to think the same about politics or sports or what have you? No. But we've got to be united in Jesus Christ. That's what matters. We have to love one another. And when we show forth that love, people will know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what our Lord says. Let's love one another. Let's forgive. And let's love. The third thing to ask ourselves is, do I bear much fruit? Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 8. Jesus speaking here. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So notice the word much. Jesus isn't talking about doing a good deed here or there, just occasionally doing a church event or what have you. It's a lifestyle. And I always say the Great Commission is a lifestyle. It's not a church event or a ministry outreach. It's a lifestyle. We live it. It's part of who we are. And when we do that, we're going to bear much fruit. We're going to lead people to Jesus. We're going to make disciples who will go out and lead others to Jesus, who will make disciples. Then those disciples will go out, lead people to Jesus, and make more disciples. Look what happens when we don't bear much fruit. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So see, we are severed from Jesus if we're not bearing fruit, if we're not being obedient to his word, if we're not being doers of his word, if we're not being obedient to his commands like the Great Commission. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ means more than just being a church member, whether a casual church member or one who is at church every Sunday, maybe every Sunday night and Wednesday. Being a disciple of Jesus requires commitment, especially in regard to these three things: the teachings of Jesus, the love of the brethren, and bearing fruit. Are you a believer and follower of Jesus? Are you his disciple? If not, I encourage you to call out on him today. Believe upon the name of Jesus Christ today and confess, Jesus, you are my Lord, and I believe with all my heart that you died and rose again. I give you my life. Empower me, help me to follow you. Just call out to him the best that you can. And if you're doing that this morning, if you do that today, please contact me, because I would love to give you next steps on the road to becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can call me at our 11 Action phone number, which is 334-494-4995. That's 334-494-4995. You can also email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. That's ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Our address, our mailing address, is Love in Action, P.O. Box 85. That's P.O. Box 85, Dothan, Alabama, 36301. So contact me, and I'd love to give you those next steps so you can start this journey, this awesome journey of being a disciple of Jesus. It's the greatest life ever. You know, Jesus tells us that how hard it is, and it is. But it's also the greatest life ever, too, because Jesus empowers us. He leads us through the hard times. And knowing that we are living for our Savior, that there's just no greater joy than knowing Jesus. There's no greater joy than telling somebody about Jesus. And then when you have the opportunity to make a disciple, it's awesome. And once you do it one time, just do it one time, you won't stop. It's very infectious. You'll want to reach more people and make more disciples. So I want to encourage you, if you are a professing Christian, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, share the gospel with others, share your testimony with others, and make disciples. Now's the time. There's no time to waste. Now's the time. Make disciples. Who can make disciples? We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you have a great rest of the day and a wonderful week coming up. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.